I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Welcome back to another episode of the Testudo Talk podcast. As always, I'm Emmett Siegel here with Andrew Chodas. And Andrew, final football game of the regular season is coming up on Saturday. We're getting this one out a little later on Friday than maybe our usual schedule. We were enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday. Before we get into the Maryland-Rutgers game, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was great. Ate a lot. Was very tired. But this for us students, this break has been very nice.
Absolutely. 100% agreed. And I echo everything you said. Happy holidays to anyone who is listening that was, you know, expecting maybe an earlier episode. We apologize, but we are here previewing the Maryland-Rutgers football game. It's the final regular season game for both of the teams, and they're both 6-5 going into this game. So not bowl eligibility on the line, but as always in college football, there is something on the line for both teams, and 7-5 versus 6-6 is certainly has a different feel to it. Let's talk about Rutgers a little bit for anyone that isn't aware. Rutgers started out the season really good, clinched bowl eligibility before October ended, but then their schedule heated up. They were the beneficiaries of a weaker schedule to start the season, at least in Big Ten play especially. And then of late have kind of fallen off a little bit. Here they are at 6-5 headed into this final game of the regular season. Probably the best team of Greg Schiano's second tenure at Rutgers. I think we can all agree on that. But certainly a team that's not trending in the right direction as the season comes to a close. Meanwhile, Maryland, as we know, had similar struggles and then has kind of bounced back a little bit. You get that close win at Nebraska and then push Michigan to the brink last week. So two teams that seem to be trending kind of in different directions, but at the same time, this is expected to be a very close game. I think most betting sites have this as a 1-point spread or somewhere around there. And Rutgers is at home for whatever that means over the Thanksgiving break. So Andrew, when you look at this Rutgers team, I think we can start with the running back. What is it about their offense that, you know, allows their running back to be so dynamic, do you think?
Well, I mean, they have one of the worst passing attacks in the Big Ten. Their quarterback, Gavin Wimsett, has just 1,486 passing yards on the season. Almost his touchdown and interception ratio is basically 1-1. But on the ground, it kind of starts with Gavin Wimsett. He does a lot on his legs. He is the second leading rusher on the team. But you have to start with Kyle Manungai, their junior back. He has been one of the most productive backs in the conference this season. I mean, his load is just incredible. I mean, he's out carried the rest of the Rutgers running backs by at least 150 attempts. He's going to have 1,000 yards. He's creeping up on that prior to Saturday. He's so efficient at 5 yards per carry. Statistically across the board, top five in the Big Ten. Obviously, you know, you have some great rushing teams in the Big Ten. So their offense definitely relies on the ground game, and between Wimsett and Menungai, they have a really good 1-2 attack.
Yeah, 100%. And it is interesting to see, you know, your quarterback be your second leading rusher. But like you said, Menungai, he's coming up on 1,000 yards. I think he's 19 yards, I think it is, shy right now. So we're, I think, all going to assume that he's going to get there. Maryland's rushing defense definitely had its struggles this year. Last week was definitely an encouraging performance, even though Michigan rushed for over 150 yards, even compared to their normal standards. That's actually not a terrible performance. And, you know, Blake Corum was held in check, and Donovan Edwards, for the most part, those two were held in check, at least in the second half. So Maryland's rushing defense is no slouch of late, but that's definitely where it's going to start and end for Rutgers on offense. Like you said, the passing attack is nothing to write home about. We saw it in last year's matchup. Although it's a different team, Rutgers just couldn't move the ball at all through the air. So Maryland's secondary may be a little bit of a week off, you would think. And if Rutgers is able to put up decent numbers on offense through the air, that would be a very, very concerning thing. Certainly something that plays into Maryland's favor a little bit. Speaking of coming up on accomplishments, we probably should mention that Talia Tungavailoa has a chance to make history this week. Maryland's quarterback is, I believe, 268 yards shy of becoming tied for the all-time lead in Big Ten passing yards for a career, and then 269 away from breaking.
He would pass Drew Brees and Curtis Painter and be the all-time, which is, I mean, that's just, obviously there's been a lot of his positives and his negatives throughout his tenure, but the chance to become the all-time leader in the Big Ten Conference passing yards, I mean, that would just be a tremendous, he's number three right now, which is already a tremendous accomplishment, but to really pull off a historical stat, I think that would be just a testament to how impressive his tenure has been, right? I mean, three straight winning seasons. It's really impressive what he's done for the program, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, this week after the Michigan game, you know, I touched on this even in the post-game instant reaction podcast, but, you know, the discourse around Talia Tungavailoa has been all about his lack of signature wins. And that is a very fair assessment. And that is definitely something that is going to be a defining part of his legacy. But you look at, you know, opportunities like this, and if he is to end his career as the all-time Big Ten leader for passing yards, you know, that you say what you want about it, say what you want about the Big Ten and the passing attacks and what Talia has and hasn't done. But like you said, incredibly impressive achievement if he is to get there. He needs 269 to get there. You think he's going to get there this weekend?
I think he'll get really close. If I think he's around there, I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Gattis kind of throws in some more passing attack. But while we're on this conversation, we always do support our fellow student journalists. And I know Taylor Lyons of the Diamondback put out a really good article on kind of exploring the positives and negatives of Tagovailoa's tenure. So I would encourage our listeners to definitely read that.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the discourse around that I saw, kind of the conversation it sparked online especially, was so emblematic of what people think about Talia. You had half the people saying, you know, this is unfair that you're saying he has no signature wins. Half the people totally agreeing with him, saying you're spot on. Everything he said, for what it's worth, was backed up with facts. So, you know, he wasn't making any unfair assertions, in my opinion.
And I think, of course, you know, there's a sense of disappointment not beating a ranked team. But I think the opportunities were obviously there. But I do think you have to remember what Talia entered in, right? I mean, you had to deal with a lot of turmoil in the program, a new coach coming off, you know, the death of Jordan McNair. You have the COVID season, which isn't successful. And then 2021, 2022, and 2023. I mean, to make three bowl games with a program coming off a losing season and a lot of awful stuff, I mean, I think that's a testament to just how impactful he was.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it has to be said, like, Maryland was in the quarterback abyss for years. I mean, let alone what the program was doing in terms of wins. I mean, the quarterback situation was a disaster before Talia showed up. So relatively speaking, he's about as good as you possibly could have hoped for, I think, coming out of those years. And when you talk about going to bowl games, you know, I mentioned that neither team is playing for bowl eligibility, like maybe you've seen in this matchup every now and then. But, you know, there's still stuff on the line, and being 7-5 versus 6-6 does matter when it comes to, you know, where you're going to be sent for a bowl game. You know, my assumption without any real knowledge of it is that Rutgers, no matter what, is probably gonna be playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. That's just a guess, just because they're nearby and they'll probably sell tickets. But, you know, Maryland being 7-5, we saw Nebraska lost today. So that's one less bowl eligible team, maybe bumps them up, you know, a notch on the bowl depth chart. You know, if Maryland can go 7-5, beat Rutgers, then you're looking at maybe a more hospitable bowl site, maybe somewhere like Vegas, maybe I don't know exactly all the times, but somewhere
Nashville.
Like Phoenix. Nashville might be they might have missed their chance to go to Nashville, but yeah, like Phoenix, somewhere like that. Then if you lose and you're 6-6 and you're kind of at the bottom of the totem pole, looking at, you know, some
right.
yeah, so, you know, Detroit against a MAC team, which, you know, would be pretty disappointing considering the expectations going into the season. So this game, even though Maryland's not technically playing for, you know, anything of note, still will end up mattering when the season comes to an end.
And you say playing for something, and it's kind of just, it's building on that positive momentum, right? If you can get a win to kind of end, because this is kind of the seniors, right? These 3 years kind of defined a new movement. So if you can end that on a positive note, I think that can really be a good thing for the program as a whole.
Yeah. And, you know, you went 7-5 last year. If you back that up and go 6-6 a year after, you know, that's kind of a gut punch when you look at, like we said, the quarterbacks leaving, the talent you have on this roster, the way the schedule shaped up, some of the close losses you had, like, you know, it definitely will feel like a missed opportunity. It probably already does, but it'll feel even more like that if you finish at 6-6. So, we're going to talk a little bit of basketball as well on this episode, but before we get to that, you have any keys to the game, maybe before we give some score predictions?
Yeah, I think Maryland's defense needs to continue the momentum it's built over the past two games. Obviously, a really good performance at Nebraska, a really good, like, really good performance against Michigan. And I think if you can kind of build on that, especially in the run game, because we know Rutgers is really lacking the passing game, I think that's where Maryland can pull off the victory. And then I guess just to add one more, I think it's Talia Tagovailoa's final game. It's, you know, can he end on a positive note, kind of solidify his legacy, if you will. And I think obviously if he's able to make a ton of big plays, obviously can really help Maryland.
Yeah, and to note on that, you know, we don't really have any information yet, but you know, some guys are going to not play in the bowl game. Yeah. We don't know who it's going to be yet. You know, my guess is that Talia will play in the bowl game, but we don't totally know for sure, you know, who's going to be there and who isn't. So there will be some players putting on the Maryland uniform for the last time.
Bodesley probably isn't going to play. He just accepted his invite to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he seems like a guy that'll definitely get a shot in the NFL. So, you know, guys like that will, and guys that enter the transfer portal, those are the guys to really keep an eye on there. I'll give a key to the game as well. It's something that we saw last week against Michigan that you wouldn't have thought would have decided that game just on paper, but special teams. Rutgers has, you know, the memes have been there about, you know, when they played Iowa and stuff like that, about the punters and everything, but Rutgers is a pretty solid special teams unit. And Maryland last week against Michigan, even though they had all the turnovers and everything, you saw, especially late when they're trying to get over the hump and take the lead, they kept getting pinned deep in their own territory. So the field position game will be something that I'm keeping an eye on. And especially when you go up there to Piscataway late in the season, sometimes it can be hard to score points. So you know, keeping an eye on Jack Howes. I can give a score prediction real quick before we head to you, and then we talk some basketball. I do think Maryland will win this game. Like you said, Rutgers passing attack being as weak as it is, I think we'll hold it back. And even though the Rutgers defense is pretty solid, probably, you know, a top half of the Big Ten group, I still like Talia and I still like Maryland to move the ball somewhat effectively, maybe not score a ton of points, but I see Maryland taking this one. I'll say 27-17.
Well, I'll be in Piscataway this weekend, and my record live in person on the road hasn't been so good this season. Columbus, Maryland loses. Northwestern, Maryland loses. Philadelphia, Nova for the basketball game, Maryland loses. So I don't have a great record so far, but I think that changes this weekend. I think Maryland pulls off. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. I think Maryland pulls it off. I'll go 24-17.
Okay. So yeah, we both have Maryland winning by at least 7 points. So, you know, it would be a good thing to see Maryland finish 7-5, even with after everything that we've talked about with, you know, disappointing season and everything, to see them end on a good note, at least end the regular season on a good note and hopefully go to a decent bowl game. Which, you know, if Maryland wins, then we can invite you to the bowl game. Maybe if they lose, I'm not sure we can let you go given your track record.
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we'll be all eyes on Saturday at 3:30 kick on Big Ten Network.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you, Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at weeks 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We can talk about basketball as well, even though the game against South Alabama tomorrow might not be the most interesting game to preview, but we can just kind of give a state of the team of the Maryland men's basketball team. Maybe you know, in some coming episodes, we'll talk a little bit more women's basketball. There might be even more to talk about there. They barely beat Green Bay today after losing their previous game. And then, you know, they've had a couple of blowout losses. But we'll focus on men's basketball as we do, since we both, you know, cover the team for Testudo Times. Maryland got a much needed win against UMBC on Tuesday earlier this week. Was able to score 92 points, which was, I think, the third most they've scored under Willard, which is, you know, just a season plus sample size, but still a really impressive offensive performance. What really confused me and surprised me was that they were able to score that many points without solving their 3-point issues. Even though you have the highlights like Jamie Kaiser hitting a half court shot and stuff, they still left a lot of points on the board, which on one hand, you're like, okay, they played that well and still missed threes. Maybe that gives you hope. On the other hand, that's UMBC. You can get away with it. Maybe you can't against other opponents, but I think we can both agree a much, much needed offensive bounce back for Maryland, for a team that was really kind of in the gutter offensively.
I mean, I don't understand this team, man. And I'm not trying to be funny. I mean that so seriously. Obviously, you come into the season with really high expectations. The shooting was a tremendous concern, but this, I think they really need this stretch of games, right? They have games against UMBC, South Alabama, Rider, Nicholls State, right? So I think you need those games to kind of gain some confidence. But it's, you know, defensively they really struggled early on against in the national championship in the first half against Villanova. It was much better against UMBC. They need to continue that. But yeah, like you said, it's the 3-point shooting is beyond concerning. If you're not able to shoot the three against better teams, UCLA is obviously coming up, and then you get into the Big Ten play. I mean, there's 358 teams in Division I, and right now they rank 351st in 3-point shooting, which is pretty crazy to say. But they're just outside of last game, they've just been so inefficient on the offensive end, and it's just the turnovers again, which they cleaned up a little bit, but against Villanova, the assist to turnover ratio negative again. It's the points of turnovers you're giving up. The offensive rebounds have also been a struggle. It's just they need to clean up their act offensively, because if they don't, it's going to be a really long season. But again, I do want to reiterate, in the Asheville Championship, they played really bad basketball, and in both games, they only lost by one possession, right? So it's, even though they're not playing their best basketball, They've still been in some of these games. The second half against Villanova was much, much better. But again, I think this stretch is going to be so important. You have to win all your games against Rider, Coppin State, Nicholls State. Who am I missing?
South Alabama tomorrow.
South Alabama. You need to win all of those games. You need to be 9-4. You need to be 9-4, at least, in my opinion. If not, it derails a lot of momentum. It's definitely not easy. Start Big Ten play. First game's against Indiana, if I'm correct.
Yeah, Indiana on the road, too, which, how Kevin Willard teams have performed on the road here.
Yeah, well, that's another aspect, right? I mean, they're provided the accommodation wasn't so good, but 2-0 at home, 0-3 away from home. It's something, right? It's something we need to discuss. It's not a narrative we can joke about anymore. They went 3-0. You cover the team. What was it last year away from home?
NCAA tournament. Not including the neutral sites?
Yeah, that they won.
Yeah, they won two true road games. They beat Minnesota and Louisville, who were awful.
Yeah, and the losses 13?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was every other true road game. They went winless on the road except for Minnesota in Big Ten play.
Okay, so in the past season and change, they have two wins on the road, and if you include Asheville, 15 losses. That needs to be cleaned up. You can't rely on winning 16 games at home again, especially with how the team is looking just purely in their offensive efficiency. I know the advanced analytics had Maryland well into the deep 100s of the most efficient teams in the country. So we don't want to overreact 5 games into the season. I'm not going to overreact. I do think this team has a bunch of talent, but you need to get better. And thankfully it's early on in the season. And, you know, they always say if you struggle early on and you can peak as the season goes on, peak towards March, you're better positioned. But a lot to see from this team. Not going to overreact. You're welcome to.
I won't either because, like you said, these couple games you got coming up, I mean, you got South Alabama, then you got Rider, and then I believe you have two Big Ten games, but then you get a couple more bye games before that UCLA game and Big Ten play really starts to, you know, kick into full gear. So I do expect them to kind of stack wins here against teams that you have an opportunity to either win against if you're playing ugly, but also maybe work some things out and a little bit of a lower stakes, hopefully, environment to fix some things. Against UMBC, like I said, they scored 92 points. Even though it's against UMBC, it's still really good to see, shots falling. You saw, you know, Dante Scott had maybe his best game of the season. Jameer Young was pretty good again, even though, you know, Julian Reese it wasn't amazing. He still had, you know, I think he led the game unsurprisingly in rebounds and had a pretty good offensive performance as well. So there are some bright spots. The South Alabama game, unless they were to lose, won't really tell us too much. But this coming stretch, once again, I'm just kind of repeating what you said, but this coming stretch is going to be super key to figuring out what this team is going to be, because if they can't beat up on these smaller teams, on these worse teams that, you know, even though Davidson and UAB are not great teams, some of these teams that they're playing coming up, UMBC, South Alabama, Rider, Alcorn State, whatever, those are much worse teams. And you're also on your home floor. These are must wins. And for the most part, you kind of got to win in convincing fashion. So I don't even think we need to do a score prediction for tomorrow's game. I think we're both going to have Maryland beating South Alabama comfortably. But is there one thing that maybe before we sign off, you really want to see over... I doubt we'll talk before the Rider game, but against South Alabama and Rider that maybe we didn't see against UMBC.
Just continuing the offensive efficiency, limit the turnovers, make some shots, and we'll see if they can make some threes.
Perfect. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Andrew, you'll be in Piscataway for the football game. Are you anticipating we'll have some post-game reaction coverage?
Probably.
I'll be at the basketball game, so I don't know if I'll be able to tune in.
Yes. Well, I think we will have some post-game coverage live from the New Jersey Turnpike if I get stuck in traffic.
Looking forward to it. We will keep everyone updated. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will be back in the coming days with some more content.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you.
Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.